righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will get to overreaction, proper reaction in just a second. But can I just say something about two people here at the network? Is that okay, Stu, if I just say something about two people here at the network?
I think that's okay.
In the last 24 hours, I've seen two things on social media. And I don't know if they're trying too hard or if they're just like crazy. So in one instance, I know someone is crazy. The other instance, I don't know what to make out of it. So I'll start with the one that I don't know what to make out of it. Carlos with the K, who is the producer for Bart Winkler right here on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. He showed up to Bob's Bar, which we still do with DA, and he had a sign painted that he was wearing around his neck that said the Chiefs are not making the playoffs this year. And I remember I was listening to Bart one night and I called in to tell him that was a stupid take, that barring an injury from Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs absolutely are making the playoffs. But then he wears this thing to this event. But then I'm watching something yesterday. I guess Carlos is trying to get back into good shape. So he's running, which is awesome. And we love that, right? And he was running in the pouring rain here in New York. It was a monsoon yesterday. I still don't know how the subways get that way, by the way. Where the subways flood. It makes no sense to me. I left here at 6 o'clock yesterday. It was pouring rain. I took the subway home. It's only a 5 to 10 minute ride. I get that. By the time I sat on my couch and turned on the TV, I also went on social media. You know, I made a little dinner too. So it was like 6:45 maybe. You know, I just put two chicken sausages in the air fryer, got some lettuce, some tomatoes, some cucumbers, right? Just made like a little salad, right? And by the time I sat on Twitter and go on Twitter, at 6:45, the subways are flooded. Like, the subway that I just took was absolutely flooded. But anyway, I guess Carlos with the K during his run got caught up in that storm, and he takes out his phone, which I don't know how his phone didn't break with all this water. Because my phone recently, you get a little rain while you're walking while it's raining sideways, and then my phone like doesn't even work. You know, the screen basically locks up. But anyway, Carlos with a K then takes a video of him running in the rain and going, "If this is it for me, I just want everybody to know that the Chiefs aren't making the playoffs this year." So I don't think Carlos is crazy. I just think he's trying too much. Manny Rodriguez, though, on the morning show, he may be the sickest sports fan I've ever seen. Like, he is one crazy SOB. Where I actually feel bad for his well-being. So Major League Baseball just posted 19 minutes ago, power couple Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn. And it's a great photo, right, of Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn. Manny Quotes tweets this, and he tweets out, "Oh, I'm Paul Skeens. I throw 100 miles per hour. I'm 6'6". Livy Dunn is my girlfriend. Take a hike, bro." Like, there's some weirdness in that tweet. And I like Manny. But he's jealous, obviously, of Paul Skeens, because Paul Skeens is 6'6", throws 100 miles per hour, and he's sleeping with Livy Dunn. But Manny, there's a lot of other fishies in the sea. You'll be okay. Just because Paul Skeens is 6'6 and throws 100 miles per hour and is dating Samter's crush in Livy Dunn does not mean you have to be this mean on social media. What did Paul Skeens ever do to you? So I think that's a fair analysis there. Stu, you'll be the voice of reason here. Carlos, I don't think is crazy. I just think he's trying too hard. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
And then Manny, I need to call Manny after the show and just ask him if everything is okay.
Also, who eats Paul Skeens? Like, if you're like, all right, maybe if you're like in the division with the Pirates, but even then, they're not like a good team. Like, yeah. Who doesn't like Paul Skeens?
It's, and you know what? This would be typical Manny. If Paul Skeens winds up on the Yankees, he'll be slobbering over Paul Skeens. Seriously. I don't want to get myself in trouble here. We call him Livy Manny.
If Paul Skeens ends up on the Yankees, Livy Dunn's getting Babe Ruth's apartment, that's for sure.
And they won't let Manny in it.
Or Samter near it.
Yeah. There'll be two restraining orders that'll be issued. Oh, why is this company Odyssey have two employees that are not allowed within 50 feet of Livy Dunn? Oh my God. Like, Manny, take it easy a little bit. I almost want to, like, say to Manny, I need to take you out to dinner one night and get you a good meal, because something's wrong here. There's too much hatred in Manny's tweets these days. I think we need an intervention with Manny Rodriguez. You know, it all started that day when he was falling asleep during the show. Since then, this guy has just gone down the wrong hole. He really has. And you look at it, I think we need to Perloff, Maggie, EJ, Bogish, myself, Mayernick, Samter, Stu, even Carlos, Bart, JR, Rich Eisen. And I think we all need to walk in. It's like kind of like Christopher Moltisanti in The Sopranos when they confront him on his problems. They have the intervention right there. We just need to kind of bombard Manny Rodriguez one day and sneak attack him and see if everything's okay. Because I'm a little concerned for our pal Manny. And I like Manny. I would actually say he's not my favorite person here at the radio station, but one of my favorite people here at the radio station. I care for Manny. But things are just going way off the tracks here with Manny Rodriguez. All right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's a good way to fill 7 minutes in the summer, if I may say so myself. Now we'll do a little overreaction, proper reaction. Let's get to it.
Another football week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, Samter, go ahead. Or actually, Stu, sorry.
Oh, good.
Sorry, Samter was on the phone. And I was looking at him, and then I said, all righty, Samter, go ahead. But it's Stu. Stu, go ahead.
All right, so
Manny Rodriguez, go ahead. Where, Paul Skeens, where? I'm a baby, where? He's with an attractive woman, where? Go ahead, Stu.
The Lions, they have one of the best offenses in the NFL, thanks to stars like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, this week at a youth football event, Gibbs detailed some new wrinkles in his new role under new offensive coordinator John Morton.
Nothing too much changed. So, I mean, a lot of stuff is the same. But I got to learn, you know, the formations for being split out. I'm being split out, I guess, like way more than I was the past 2 years. So that's good. That's going to be fine. I've been waiting on that. He wants me to be, you know, more involved in it. So that's what he plans on doing.
Overreaction or proper reaction, Jahmyr Gibbs is the most versatile player in the NFL.
I'm actually going overreaction, and it's nothing against Jahmyr Gibbs. Before this man even steps foot on an NFL field, Travis Hunter has to be the most versatile player in the NFL. He plays two positions. He plays wide receiver, and he plays cornerback. So you're on two different sides of the ball. This isn't just, oh, he's a running back that gets sent out to wide receiver times. He plays one way, and then when the other team gets the ball back, he plays the other way. So it has to be Travis Hunter. So Gibbs is the most versatile player in the NFL. I'm going over reaction.
The NFL continues to reveal the NFL top 100 list, and after Tua was the first quarterback on the list at number 91, Dak Prescott was the next quarterback at number 79. Now, Tua played just 11 games last year, while Dak was healthy for just 8 contests. Both quarterbacks played all 17 games in 2023. However, with Dak throwing for more touchdowns and fewer picks, while Tua had more passing yards. Overreaction or proper reaction?
Oh, boy.
When both quarterbacks are fully healthy, Dak is the better quarterback than Tua.
They're so similar. Both are good, not great. Both can't really win a Super Bowl or get to a conference championship game. And they get injured a lot. Oh, gee golly. When both QBs are fully healthy, Dak is the better quarterback than Tua. And both have good wide receivers, too. So you can't say, oh, how will one look if you take this guy away and so-and-so. We just seen more of Dak. And I never thought anyone ever thought that Dak was going to be a great QB. Where for Tua, there was that time, and then injuries kind of derailed that. So I guess I would slightly lean more Tua towards Dak, but I think they are so similar. So when both QBs are fully healthy, Dak is better than Tua. I'm going to go slight overreaction.
Speaking of the NFL 100, last year's number one was Tyreek Hill, but the Dolphins star had a down year after Tua dealt with some issues. Now, all-time great wideout Randy Moss threw some shade at Hill, saying, quote, he's nowhere all-time. Where is he at today's game? Tyreek Hill is probably top five. I put him top five, end of quote. Overreaction or proper reaction, by the time he retires, Tyreek Hill will be considered a top 10 receiver all time.
No, and honestly, I know he's had his best statistical seasons in Miami, but going to Miami was a misfire by him. Because if you would have kept on winning those Super Bowls with the Kansas City Chiefs, and your numbers would have been, right? It's weird. The Chiefs have still been able to win in spite of Tyreek Hill, but you could also say that they miss him because it hasn't been like their offense has been so great, but they keep on winning. So imagine what he would have done if he was still there with the numbers and the production, since they still haven't been able to replace him, but yet they keep on winning without him. But a top 10 wide receiver of all time, I don't think so. So I'm going overreaction there.
As we discussed yesterday, the Jets gave Garrett Wilson a massive four-year, $130 million extension before he enters his fourth season. Now the $32.5 million average is the fifth most in the NFL among receivers, behind Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and DK Metcalf, but above A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So overreaction or proper reaction, over the next 5 years, Garrett Wilson will be a better receiver than both A.J. and Amon-Ra.
A.J. Brown's elite. He's elite. Amon-Ra is great, and Garrett Wilson has had a pretty good first 3 years in the NFL with no consistent quarterback play. But over the next 5 years, Wilson will be a better receiver than both Amon-Ra and A.J. Brown. I can't go there. I can't. I can't say he's going to be better than both. Now, AJ is older. He's 28. He just turned 28. So, you know, maybe he starts to slow down. But I got to think at least one of those wide receivers will be better than Garrett Wilson, who I think very highly of. But over the next 5 years, Wilson will be better receiver than both AJ Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm going overreaction. And by the way, the Jets, obviously we should make mention of this just because we haven't got to it yet. They did sign Sauce Gardner today to a massive new extension, according to Ian Rappaport. They're going to make him the highest paid quarterback, cornerback in NFL history. It's a four-year, $120.4 million deal, $30.1 million per year. And that's that for Sauce Gardner, who, by the way, he was overrated last year. He had a bad season last year. The first 2 years, he's really good in the NFL. But I said this going into the beginning of the season, and people in New York didn't like it, that Pat Surtain was the better cornerback. Not only was the better cornerback, he won Defensive Player of the Year. And you also saw guys like Derek Stingley play really well last year. Trent McDuffie continue on his success that he's been having. And Christian Gonzalez. Like, those four guys, Surtain, Derek Stingley, Christian Gonzalez, and Trent McDuffie, were all better than Sauce Gardner last year. And it wasn't even close. So this is a big year for Sauce. Because your first 2 years, you were awesome. Third year was not good for you. Then you got paid. This is a big kind of getter back going in the right direction year for Sauce Gardner. We'll see how he handles that.
The 49ers had a rough offseason, losing starters Deebo Samuel, Charvarius Ward, Talanoa Hufanga, and Leonard Floyd, while Brandon Ayuk is recovering from an ACL injury. And now 27-year-old breakout receiver Juwan Jennings is reportedly seeking a new contract after catching 77 passes for nearly 1,000 yards last year. And Schefter says he'll seek a trade if he doesn't get an extension before training camp. Overreaction or proper reaction? Considering everything they lost, the 49ers need to give Jennings a new deal.
I think that's a proper reaction. I'm not even going to guess what it's going to cost them. Ayuk coming off the injury season, and we'll see where he's at, but he's still your number one when healthy. Ricky Parasol's there, who you just drafted in the first round. But Juwan Jennings, he was good last year. Like you said, Stu, it's almost 80 catches, almost 1,000 yards. what is fair there for Juwan Jennings? That becomes the question, but they do need him. So with everything they lost, the 49ers need to give Jennings a new deal. You may got to pay him a little bit more than you want. So I'll say that's a proper reaction.
All right, Samter is three-time defending AFC champion Chiefs.
I can't even keep up with Samter. One day he's a Chiefs fan, the next day he hates the Chiefs, and he's a Jets fan.
Back on the Chiefs today.
It's let me tell you.
Well, they have
too much.
They have a lot of questions to answer heading into 2025, despite going 15-2 last year. Travis Kelce has slimmed down. Rashee Rice is healthy and joins a now loaded receiving core. And today, KC also signed Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith to a monster four-year, $94 million deal with a record $70 million guaranteed. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Chiefs are more dangerous this year than last year.
I think they're the same, honestly. Because they also lost Joe Tooney, who was really good for them. But Mahomes is still their guy, obviously. You still got Chris Jones on defense. You still got Travis Kelce there. You got a really good secondary anchored by Trent McDuffie. I know that you could look at maybe Xavier Worthy has a bigger year this year, but he was solid last year. Maybe it comes at his own in year number two. But I look at them. I think they're the same. And it's Super Bowl or bust every year for them for the foreseeable future with Patrick Mahomes. So when you ask me, overreaction, proper reaction, the Chiefs are more dangerous this year than they were last year. I'm going to say overreaction to that. I think it's the same.
Arch Manning is the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman after massive expectations as a recruit and sitting behind Quinn Ewers for 2 years. Yesterday, our friend Chris Plank joined the show and basically explained why expectations are too high for Arch.
I like Arch a lot. I think that he's been given expectations that are unmeetable. I bristle whenever you have people saying he's the greatest quarterback since Tim Tebow. We had some pretty good quarterbacks between Tebow and now, right? Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield was pretty special, but I get the hype. I go back and forth because there's this part of me that says he couldn't get the job away from Quinn Ewers, who then went in the seventh round of the draft. But Quinn Ewers was also the highest rated recruit we've ever had in college football. We'll see. We're going to find out quick. Because it's Ohio State. I'm a believer that he's good. I don't think that he is number one pick in the draft. I think these expectations that have been laid on him are unmeetable. And I think Texas is going to struggle. Zach, I think unrealistic expectations have been placed on this young man. And I'll tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if he's back in college next year. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's back in Texas. He's telling people now that he wants to come back for another year.
And then Arch's uncle Eli joined Get Up and agreed with the take.
I'm optimistic. I think he's going to do great. Of course, there's going to be some ups and downs. He's still a young quarterback. It's not going to all be perfect. I think, probably the expectations are unattainable of what people think he's just going to be, come in and just be automatic. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be interceptions, but there's going to be a lot of touchdowns. There'll be a lot of good things. And each week, there'll be an opportunity for him to learn something new.
So overreaction or proper reaction, anything short of being a Heisman finalist will be a disappointment for Arch.
Well, you assume if he's a Heisman finalist, right, then they're in the college football playoff. So, yeah, I would say that he bare minimum needs to be a Heisman finalist this year, if not more than that, honestly, because where this is at. So anything short of being a Heisman finalist would be a disappointment for Arch. I'm going to say, you know what? If he's just a Heisman Trophy finalist this year, that's it. That's pretty much the way that this question is. I'm not saying it's a bad year, but look where the hype is. So I'm going to actually say that anything short of being a Heisman Trophy finalist is a disappointment. You know, if he's just a Heisman Trophy finalist, so how do I even answer this question? I'm being honest. Anything short of being a Heisman finalist will be a disappointment for Arch this year. I don't think that bar is high enough, Samter. How did you like mean this question? Just wondering the wording of it.
I mean, I guess my thought was if he's a Heisman finalist but doesn't win, mm-hmm. Do you consider this, is that a successful year?
And
if he's not
it.
A Heisman finalist, is that a disappointment? Like, I guess my point is, does he have to be a Heisman finalist at the very bottom for this to be a successful season? Or do you think that just being a Heisman finalist isn't enough?
Yeah, I don't think it's enough.
That's okay.
Yeah. Like, if you tell me then he's a Heisman Trophy finalist but he wins a national championship, obviously it's a success. But if it's just, all right, they make the college football playoff and he's a Heisman Trophy finalist, then I don't think that's good enough, honestly, for where the bar is. So I don't even know how to answer this, honestly. I guess overreaction?
All right.
I seriously, because I've flip-flopped on this 3,000 times on this show so far, that I'm starting to agree with Chris Plank. I think the bar is set to be too high. That's the way that I answer the question. Like, he's going to have to win a Heisman Trophy at Texas or win a national championship, one or the other.
All right, last one here. Auburn head coach Hugh Freeze is 11-14 over his first two seasons for the Tigers. Now a report indicated that Freeze played at least 11 rounds of golf in June and well over 20 rounds since the start of the year, leading to criticism and frustration from fans, with Auburn sitting in last in the SEC for the 2026 recruiting class. Now Freeze, who was fifth in the SEC recruiting in 2025, joined David Pollack's podcast, See Ball, Get Ball, and he gave his response.
This is that time where people are looking for things to write about, and I do love golf. I enjoy playing. It gets away, but what people don't realize is it's probably, I assure you, I never missed a camp day or a recruiting day. But if camp got over at 3 o'clock one day and Jill and I go out at 4:30, we absolutely might do that. And I'm not apologizing for that part of it. My focus is 100% on getting Auburn in that win column.
So overreaction or
late tee time, by the way. Yeah, how you get in that full round of golf, coach? That'd be my follow up.
Overreaction or proper reaction? Hugh Freeze playing so much golf is impacting his recruiting.
I don't think so. If that's the way, like after he gets all of his responsibilities done, he goes and plays golf, that to me is not that big of a deal. But I do think this is going to be his final season at Auburn. So Freeze playing so much golf is impacting his recruiting. I'm going to go overreaction. Take a break. When we come on back, we'll get to some of what Nick Sirianni had to say about Jalen Hurts and how people are talking about him and who are the top 9 coaches in the NFL entering this season. So we were talking yesterday about that list that ESPN put out, and it's with executives and coaches and scouts, and they ranked Jalen Hurts as the 9th best quarterback in football, which I thought was way too low. So Nick Sirianni responded to the criticism of Jalen Hurts, and he called it bull bleep. That's what he told NBC Sports Philadelphia. Yeah, that's bull bleep. Anytime I hear that, it's cool. It's like a nice debate, thing that people like to have, and I get it. There's a lot of hours that TV shows and radio stations have to fill to be able to fill that debate. I understand that, but we're talking about the ultimate team game. There is, and he does whatever he needs to do to win each and every game. So Nick Sirianni basically saying it's bull bleep that people use the situation that Jalen Hurts is in against them. So I don't expect anything different. Nick Sirianni, he should be defending his quarterback. His quarterback just won him a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP. You know, so with that being said, let's do this. Going into this season, where these coaches are at right now, we'll go 9 deep here. We'll do a fine 9 since we only have 3 people here, myself, Samter, and Stu, and we can't get you to 10. Let's do the top 10 coaches in the NFL entering this season. Samter, who is in at number 1?
Pretty easy for me. It's my head coach, Mr. Andy Reid.
I thought you were rooting for Aaron Glenn this season.
I am. Aaron Glenn is my guy. Nobody I'm rooting for more than Aaron Glenn.
You're like Adam Schein. Everyone's your guy. Yeah, you know, Adam Schein calls everyone his guy for the NFL. Everyone's your guy, pretty much. All right, Stu, who's number 2?
I think number 2 is, for me, pretty easy, too, as was number 1. I think Sean McVay, what he does with the Rams and the offensive genius that he is, I think he's number 2.
I can't believe where we're at right now. Because you know what I'm saying is 3? It's Nick Sirianni. This guy who, let me be clear, I thought should have been fired at the end of last season, before this past season, the end of the 2023 season. But this guy, every year in the NFL he's been head coach, which has been 4, he's made the playoffs. This guy has also been to 2 Super Bowls, and he won 1. I got to say, Nick Sirianni entering this season, and for what have you done for me lately in the NFL, those are some pretty damn good numbers. And I'd be curious on these lists, because it is the summer, so more top 10 coaching lists are going to come on out. I'd be curious where a lot of people rank Sirianni, but I'll put him in at 3. Do we want to snake back here, Samter, or we just want to go to you?
No, sneak it back.
Okay. So for the fourth best coach in football entering this season, I'm going to stay away from John Harbaugh. I'm going to stay away from Mike Tomlin. I was really impressed with this individual last year. And I thought he was starting to be a tad overrated. I didn't love him taking this job. It was ugly with him and Russell Wilson. But that Denver Broncos team, we thought they were a bottom five roster entering last season. And Sean Payton had him in the playoffs, and he had Bo Nix looking sensational. I'm going to put Sean Payton in at number four. Back to Stu.
Okay, so for number five for me, this coach hasn't been to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl yet, but in what he's done in a few short years with the Lions, I think Dan Campbell has already risen to be one of the best head coaches in the sport. So I'm going to go Dan Campbell at number five overall here.
Okay. Santer, give me one selection here.
We're snaking. So
I know, but just give me one of them and react to it.
All right, well, so I'm going to go with who I think is the better of the Harbaughs. I'm going with Jim Harbaugh. I love John Harbaugh. Wow. I know he's won a Super Bowl, but Jim Harbaugh has a national title. He turned around team after team after team. I just think from a pure coaching standpoint, Jim Harbaugh is one of the better coaches I've ever seen. So I'm going with Jim Harbaugh here as my first on the snake side.
Wow. So I'm surprised that Jim Harbaugh is in before John, and I love Jim, but John beat Jim in a Super Bowl. And even though Jim Harbaugh last year made the playoffs, you know, that postseason performance was pathetic. Now, to be fair, the Baltimore Ravens ended up losing in the second round to the Buffalo Bills, even though they beat the Steelers to open things up. But okay, I was surprised that Jim Harbaugh is in front of John. And I think you can make a case for Mike Tomlin being in front of Jim Harbaugh as well. But it's Samter's selection. So Andy Reid was one with Samter. Sean McVay was two with Stu. I then took Nick Sirianni three, Sean Payton four. Then Stu did take Dan Campbell five. And Samter just took Jim Harbaugh in at seventh. We go back to Samter for his seventh selection.
I am going to go with one of those names you mentioned. I'm going Mike Tomlin. I know everyone's a little bit down on him, but he hasn't had a quarterback in a while, so it's not all his fault. He still has never had a sub-500 season. Say what you will about Tomlin and not winning a playoff game since 2016, but his quarterbacks have been, for the most part, pretty awful over the past 6 or 7 years. Some of it's his fault for development. Some of it's not his fault, so I'm still sticking with Tomlin.
All right, Stu?
All right, I think John Harbaugh has been on this too long. I think he is...
I agree.
He makes the playoffs every year. I know that they haven't won a Super Bowl in a while, but he does have that Super Bowl, and I just think he's a great head coach. So I think eighth overall is pretty low for him, but I'll go with him there.
Okay, so Andy Reid is one, Sean McVay is two, Nick Sirianni's three in this draft, Sean Payton's four, Dan Campbell five, Jim Harbaugh six, Mike Tomlin seven, and then John Harbaugh eight. So now I got to make one final selection here. You could consider Sean McDermott. I'm not going to take him. After that, you could consider Pete Carroll, but I'm not going to take him. You also look around. You want to consider Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell. Oh, boy. D'Amico Ryans. Jeez, we got a lot of good coaches in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan. So hold on, I got to pick one spot here. I got to pick between, well, LaFleur's out because I like Shanahan over him. O'Connell just won coach of the year, but Shanahan's been to two Super Bowls. Whew. Pete Carroll's won a Super Bowl. D'Amico Ryans took a team from the outhouse to the penthouse. Oh, man. You know, I wanted to take D'Amico Ryans here. I went into this saying I was going to take D'Amico Ryans here. How do I not take Kyle Shanahan at this point? You know what is nuts here? We could do this only nine. Let's just say for 10, for argument's sake, I threw in Pete Carroll. That means you would not have in the top 10 coaches in the NFL, you wouldn't have Sean McDermott. You wouldn't have Kevin Stefanski's won two Coach of the Year awards. You wouldn't have Mike Vrabel. You wouldn't have D'Amico Ryans. You know, Dan Quinn just did a pretty bang-up job this past year. You wouldn't have LaFleur. You wouldn't have Kevin O'Connell either. Oh, my God. You know, we're in a pretty... Todd Bowles, could he get some respect too now? We got some good coaches here in the NFL entering this season. That's what I kind of learned from this exercise. So we did our top nine coaches in a draft. Sam took Andy Reid first. Then Stu took Sean McVay. Then I took Nick Sirianni and Sean Payton. Then Stu took Dan Campbell. Sam took Jim Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Then Stu took John Harbaugh. And I ended up going with Kyle Shanahan. Hey, Marco, after you just hear those nine names, is there who's the name that stands out to you that we didn't put on that list?
It's probably Pete Carroll.
Right? Because he won a Super Bowl and probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not egregious, though, where you went, but I would probably say it's Pete Carroll that would be next on that list.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, what else can, honestly, some of these guys like D'Amico Ryans and Matt LaFleur and Kevin O'Connell.
I think
to
Kevin O'Connell, too, though. I mean, to be fair, and again, there's some work to be done. They haven't done enough in the playoffs, but the job that he has done thus far.
With
what he's had.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. With what he's had, you can't ask for much more than Kevin O'Connell's given you.
Yeah, the only reason why I ended up going Shanahan over O'Connell there just for that final spot is Shanahan's been to the two Super Bowls, and both, I know Shanahan has more called his shot and it just backfired on Trey Lance, but then he turned it into Brock Purdy. Both those guys have really never had a great quarterback. And
well, it's body of work too, though. I mean, it's a little bit longer. I mean, O'Connell, give it a couple more years. He gets to a Super Bowl with a J.J. McCarthy or, you know, we'll see what winds up being, or if they wind up falling off the map and it's, hey, why didn't you stick with Sam Darnold? Because you had something there and J.J. McCarthy's not the goods. We'll find out soon.
Yeah, I think I'm going to craft my own top 10 for this tomorrow and say goodbye to the draft. And I'm going to really go to work and see who I'm going to put in the top 10 because this is difficult. All righty, we will take a time out here. We'll come on back. We'll wrap things up on the All-Star game that comes your way tonight. And you had the big dumper last night. Dump all over the place and win some home runs. It's got to be one of the best nicknames of all time, the big dumper, right?
One of the best in recent memory, because we have not had very good nicknames for a long, long time.
The Big Dumper.
This is one of my favorites. Obviously, it's all of ours. It's not just me. But we used to have really good nicknames back in the day. Thought-provoking. Actually, thought about it. Now, we get nonsense. This is a good one.
What was your favorite sports nickname?
Ever? Oh, geez. But I don't know. Without thinking, I mean, back in the day, we used to have like the, you know, trying to think of something.
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Yeah, stuff like that. But I mean, like, you know, even, you know, three-finger Mordecai Brown. Like, there was stuff that everybody had a nickname for a dumb thing.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Like, everything, you little things that you did wind up being a good nickname. Now, it was just kind of anything that was thrown at you. You know, Jimmy. It just felt like
everything. The Admiral.
Just nonsense. The Admiral's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Dumper, there's some thought there. I want thought. I like that.
And the reasoning behind why he's called the Big Dumper.
And the fact that he didn't like it. I like that. It's good.
You like that?
It's not just that everybody loves it, but I mean, like, you know, prime time. You gave it to yourself.
Sure.
I'm backing off on that. This is something that it's stuck to you. I like that.
We can name a lot of people around here the Big Dumper, I think so.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is. I'm in that category as well. And right from the start, I feel like this whole thing also reminds me of like Spaceballs. Why didn't anybody tell me my ass was so big? I like that. That's good.
All righty, let's get to Marco with the latest update. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's wrap up the show with this. So last night, you had the Big Dumper, Cal Raleigh, win the Home Run Derby. And tonight, you have the All-Star Game. I think without question, the two biggest stars in Major League Baseball are actually the two best players in Major League Baseball. Because sometimes you can be the best player, or you could be the second best player, but you may not be the biggest star in the sport. That just happens from time to time. But Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge are the two best players in Major League Baseball and the two biggest stars in Major League Baseball. So let's go around the room here and let's see who you guys think is the third biggest star, where you have the majority of the stars at the All-Star Game. For some reason, Rob Manfred and this Fugazi system where they want the stars there somehow didn't put Juan Soto in the All-Star Game. But I'm not going to say Juan Soto is the third biggest star in Major League Baseball. By the way, I haven't heard this, but I just read it during the break. Did you guys see what Alex Rodriguez had to say today? I guess he was on with Colin Cowherd.
I did.
Samter, did you see this at all? We got to get this audio for tomorrow. He said Rob Manfred should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, I think it's well documented. I am not the biggest fan of Rob Manfred. I think he is the third best commissioner in the four major sports. Goodell 1, Gary Bettman 2, Rob Manfred 3, and then Spineless Silver in at number 4. I will give Rob Manfred credit for the pitch clock. I think that was a good thing for Major League Baseball. But outside of that, I can't really give him too much credit. The Hall of Fame? A-Rod, are your lips on Rob Manfred's ass? Like, what the heck are we doing there? You don't need to suck up to Rob Manfred.
I think, like, every commissioner's in the Hall of Fame, though.
I don't care. I don't. This guy should not be in the Hall of Fame. What he did during COVID and the way that he spat in our faces when you weren't supposed to spit on anyone. I mean, you're really not supposed to spit on anyone regardless, but you get what I'm saying. Was absolutely disgraceful. I will tell you, the year that Rob Manfred goes into the Hall of Fame, I will boycott Cooperstown for that year. Come on, A-Rod. Rob Manfred. Oy, 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 oy. The pitch clock was good. Outside of that, I don't got much else really positive to say about Rob Manfred. So let's do this, though. Getting back to our original conversation. Ohtani and Judge are the two biggest stars in the sport. Who's the third biggest star in Major League Baseball? I'll start off with you, Stu.
You know, you said that you don't think he is. I think it is Soto. And
oh, you do?
I do. And it's funny, like, the last, you said it during the last segment when we were drafting the coaches, how easy it was and how many options there were. Once you get to this point, there aren't a lot of great options. And it kind of makes me realize how bad the Major League Baseball is at marketing their stars. Because, like you said, it's Judge, Ohtani, and then I feel like there's a pretty sizable gap. But I think Soto's in that conversation. I think he draws a lot of attention. He's a great player. I don't know.
The contract's ridiculous, too. Yeah. I mean, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Is he the biggest star in the Mets, though?
I think he is.
Okay, because I would argue that it's Lindor.
Yeah.
Especially with the My Girl song, too.
But Lindor's been there longer. Give Soto. I mean, Soto has the biggest contract. He's probably the bigger name than Lindor.
Oh, yeah. He's the better player. I think Lindor. And maybe it's recency bias, also finishing second of the MVP a year ago, and then you have the My Girl song and the walk-up and all that. I feel like Lindor, just as a Met fan, if you ask me that question, who's the bigger star, I would say it's Lindor over Soto. But I love that they're both on my team. It's a spectacular thing. You know, it's like asking a parent who their favorite child is. So, you know, Pete, we don't want to leave you out of the conversation as well. So you're going Juan Soto there.
I'm going Soto.
Okay. Santer?
I got a list.
Okay, don't say mine. You know mine, right?
I know yours.
Okay,
I'm not going to go with yours. I was going to go with yours, but since I can't, I have a list of a few guys.
Stalker alert.
Ellie De La Cruz has the potential. He's just so exciting. He's kind of fallen off a little bit, so maybe not there, but he's just kind of an exciting kind of guy. Ronald Acuna, when he's healthy, he's such a beast with the Braves. Mookie Betts. Hard to really say it because Shohei's on his team, but Mookie Betts is a huge, big-time star. And then, of course, there's Mike Trout.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How has Ellie De La Cruz fallen off?
He hasn't quite lived up to the hype. When he came in, he was like the next big thing. He's really good. He's an all-star. He's a top 10, 15 player in the league. But he hasn't quite hit that expectation when he first came up and he just burst onto the scene.
And you know what's wild? The Reds feel like they're irrelevant. But they're 50-40. You look at that Central. Cubs are 57-39. Brewers are 56-40. Cardinals are 51-46. Reds are 50-47. The Pirates are 39-58. But Ellie De La Cruz, right now, he's at 18 home runs, 63 RBIs. He's got 25 stolen bases. He had 67 last year. He's a fascinating player to me to watch. But anyway, give your list over again. You got Ellie De La Cruz.
Ronald Acuna. Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Mike Trout. Was, but again, faded. Never marketable. Great player, but he's fallen off injuries. But for me, I'm going to go number 3, Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, like, he burst onto the scene. He's been, like, a superstar, multiple-time MVP. He's got the attitude, the personality, the marketability. Bryce Harper, I think, no doubt, is the third biggest star outside of the guy that you're about to name.
Yeah, I'm going Paul Skenes. Now, I don't think Paul Skenes is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. It's close. I think it's Tarik Skubal. I'm more of a Scooby-Dooby-Dooby guy. But you look at a guy like Paul Skenes, from a marketability standpoint, he's right up there. And who he dates is important in this conversation as well, because that brings a whole different audience into it as well, just in terms of people seeing the content of Paul Skeens. So I got to go Paul Skeens there, and I think he's the third biggest star that Major League Baseball has to offer. Alrighty, pretty much for the All-Star game tonight, this is what I would say to it. The All-Star game's really not catered to me. I'm not going to crap all over the All-Star game, but I think it's cool that we get to see Skeens up against Tarek Skubal. You know, with Skeens starting for the NL and Skubal starting for the AL. After that, I'll have it on, but if I start to doze off on my couch, yeah, that will probably be it. I do have to set an alarm, though, for midnight, because when I'm going to Chicago, I'm trying to book a pizza place that I want to go get a reservation for. Did you do deep dish when you were out there, Stu?
I did.
See, I'm kind of told, I've been told by all the locals in Chicago, don't do the deep dish, do the tavern style. So I think I'm going to go get the tavern style when I'm in Chicago.
Good idea.
And then I'll get all these photos from, why is it so thin? All these comments when I put the photo up there. What's so thin? Supposed to get deep dish in Chicago. But I've asked four locals. All of them have told me to get the tavern style. Anyway, big thanks to Dan Mullen for joining us. Big thanks to Samter. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Capitan, Marco Bloody. And most importantly, each and every one of you for calling in, listening, and tuning in to the program. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.